So I also have a neighbor who I feel like really doesn't like it, and I suspect maybe called the cops on me at one point a while ago. they're gone. They're on vacation, oh. So I don't have to worry about them.
Nice.
So, let's go.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, Eric, along with Michelle Richards. Debbie Lazga is here. Greg Pancake Hill is keeping us on track as well today. Vince is back after the holiday. My thanks again to Vince, who was originally off yesterday, but he did me a huge solid and let me have the day, which was pretty cool. So thank you for that, buddy. Hey, Supreme Court did rule on Monday for the first time that former presidents have broad immunity from criminal prosecution for official acts. So the court extended the delay in the Washington criminal case against former President Donald Trump. So that's the story, of course, today is what happens with that case. Will it move forward? There's little chance that Trump could be tried before the November election now because of this ruling. So Trump calls it a big win. President Biden says
it's a dangerous precedent because the power of the office will no longer be constrained by the law, even including the Supreme Court of the United States. The only limits will be self-imposed by the president alone.
So now one of the big questions is what happens with some of these other cases? The hush money conviction, which just happened in May in Manhattan. Trump's attorneys looking at that now.
Trump lawyers asking the New York judge in his criminal hush money case to throw out the conviction because the jury saw evidence that they believe should have been protected by presidential immunity. That according to a letter to Judge Juan Merchan described by sources to ABC News. The defense is asking for more time to make their argument that could delay Mr. Trump's sentencing scheduled for a week from this Thursday. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Yeah, don't forget. Sorry about that, Chuck. Keep jumping on him. So one of the things to remember is that, so that was supposed to happen on Thursday, and then a couple of days after that, the RNC starts in Milwaukee. And at one point, there had been questions about whether or not the former president could be here. Would he be hauled off to jail? No one seems to think that's going to happen. But now the question will become, will there even be a sentencing hearing on that date? Could they get something to happen before then to postpone because of this ruling from the Supreme Court? And then you have the RNC, which is now 2 weeks away. 2 weeks now, and here in Milwaukee, we'll have the RNC. The political world will be right here in Brew City.
All eyes.
All eyes. Every one of them. 7:14. Brewers get walked off, but a lot of questions there. That story next.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
Brewers out west in Colorado opening up a four-game set against the Rockies. Okay, where do you want to start? Another new pitcher for the Brewers, which makes how many, Eric?
75?
Close, 15. But remember, it's July 2nd. It's not the All-Star break, and they have 15 starting pitchers. Already different starting pitchers.
Now, they do have strategies there, apparently.
Yeah, so albeit it is the starting pitcher. He only pitched one inning yesterday, but I don't care. You start the game, you're a new name. That adds to that statistic, which makes that statistic more sexy, and then I can say it on the air. Also, a controversial call on the base pass, a 38-year-old human hitting a home run on his 38th birthday, and, of course, extra innings. We go to the 10th inning. Christian Yelich, the extra man on second. He steals third. It's Rhys Hoskins at the plate, and of all places to hit the ball, it's right at the third baseman.
The 1-1 pitch. Hoskins hits it on the ground to third. Runner breaks for the plate. It's fielded by McMahon. Throw home. Tag on Yelich. He is out at the plate. Tagged out by Diaz. Over to third advances Frelick, but there are now two outs in the 10th inning.
Yeah, so Yelly tagged out at third. We go to the Rockies' 10th. Two intentional walks. The bases are loaded. Jay Cave.
Bases loaded, one out. The pitch. Swing line drive in the right center field to win the game, a base hit. It's a walk-off RBI single by Jake Cave, and the Rockies win game one in a thriller. 8-7, the final in 10 innings.
Can't have a walk-off without a thriller, right? Brewers dropped the first game in Colorado in extras. 8-7, game two this evening. Our coverage starts right here on WTMJ at 7:05. It's Dallas Keuchel on the hill for the crew tonight. So sports briefs, NBA free agency in full swing. Now, the Bucks aren't going to make any big splashes, so don't look to anything there. But they have agreed to a one-year deal with veteran point guard DeLon Wright, a former first-round pick in 2015. And here we go. The United States men's national soccer team. They're in Copa America play, right? They fell to Uruguay 1-0. However, it didn't come without controversy. And the whole game, there was like a yellow card that wasn't a yellow card, and they told them to play, but he raised his hand in the air, so he issued the yellow card, yet they continued to play, so they had to stop playing. It was a mess, right? The officiating was terrible. There was a gnarly, just an egregious offsides to make that goal 1-0 to put Uruguay over USA. So at the very end, right, you think that, okay, whatever, emotions are in the past.
Yeah.
Go to shake the ref's hand. Christian Pulisic, star of the game, plays for Chelsea in the Premier League. Absolute star of the team, goes over to shake the ref's hands, and they looked at him, and they refused to shake his hand.
So this is very customary, right, in soccer,
to
shake the hand of the referee after the game, even if you've barked at him a couple of times.
Listen, you're out there for 90-plus minutes, right, uninterrupted. You're all running. You're all sharing the same field.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to cross paths. You're definitely going to say something.
And even the kids do that sometimes, too, by the way, where they'll shake the referee's hands after the game.
It's good act of sportsmanship.
Yeah. So
he
walks up there to shake referee's hand.
And they just looked at him. They just stared at him. Didn't even actually offer a handout. Just looked.
To
which
nice
Pulisic
job.
Was like, "Fine, man. You know what? Like, I'm over this." He said he can't accept that. Just in the mess. And again, U.S. men's national team not in great spirits. They're the host team for Copa America this tournament. First host team in tournament history to ever not make it out of the opening round. Their manager. His seat is hot. It's not great. So, World Cup in 2 years, though. Stay tuned.
Sure. 7:19, we got your forecast for the next few days and what that means for the fireworks and all the festivities. We'll do it next. Wisconsin's Morning News with Vince Vitrano. Vince is back after the holiday. Eric Bilstad along with Michelle Richards. And joining us on the WTMJ Tri-County Contracting Hotline is...
Wait a second here. Sorry. Sorry to cut you off, Eric.
Oh, no, please. Brian Nisansky, hello.
Hello. Vince has gone all the way through the entire fourth. Will you take 12 days off or what?
Right? Yes. I can't get over this. Yeah, actually, he did. I have to give him credit. Like, I give him props. He did a solid for me because he was originally off yesterday, Niz.
Okay.
And I asked him last week, I'm like, hey, man, is there any way I can get that day? And he said, okay. So he did it for me. He took off, or he worked yesterday for me.
Wow.
So I can't tease him too much.
What a guy. He takes off 12, you take off one.
Yeah.
Stand up. Unbelievable.
Hey, so many
team
questions.
Player.
Yeah. He's such a team player. Right, we have so many questions. Whether or not, you know, fireworks are going to look good this week as far as the weather goes. B, whether or not you've gone down to a fireworks shop and bought, like, the fake news bomb or whatever else they have those funny names for, those fireworks.
Yeah.
Let's start with the forecast. How's this holiday week look for us?
Yeah, so today, obviously, is probably going to be our wettest day today, especially northwest of Milwaukee, where we get to see some pretty good amounts of rain. Now, we dry out again tomorrow, and then we have a couple rain chances Thursday and Friday. And, of course, that's what's most important, what you're getting to here. But it doesn't look like what we're dealing with today. It really looks like more of just chances or scattered stuff where, you know, maybe it rains both days, but for a half hour and the rest of the days are dry. So what we have to do is over the next 24 hours or so, start to really pinpoint when those rain chances will be. Is it going to affect the fireworks or will it affect your parade in the morning? That's kind of to be determined at this point, but I'm not too alarmed yet that I think people need to start like rethinking like any sort of plans or, you know, that sort of thing.
How about temperature-wise? I feel like the 4th of July has to be 95, hot and humid and super uncomfortable. Are we going to get there this 4th of July?
Yeah. Tomorrow we have one really very warm and humid day expected tomorrow. And then it looks like it kind of backs off again and we'll have an influence from Lake Michigan. So I think we're probably looking at more in the way of 70s to around 80, not only 4th of July, but through most of the 4th of July weekend. Very average, if not a little bit below average, as far as temperatures go. I think there's just enough of a component of the wind off of the lake for much of the period, and we'll have some clouds and some scattered shower chances around. So, yeah, those looking for, you know, that hot, humid, 100-degree firecracker 4th of July, I don't think that's going to be this year. The bigger concern will be those rain chances that we just kind of have to keep an eye on.
Now, I was in Minocqua this past weekend, and got out on the boat and floating around out there and, and freezing.
Just absolutely freezing.
Still glad to be out there, but holy cow, it's chilly.
Kind of like, you know, like sweatshirt, like, I don't know, like kind of like Cape Cod type,
yeah,
type weather, right?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
It is good to be up there. It's always good to see the sights. But yeah, you wait for these moments. You live for these moments to be on vacation and experience summer and stuff like that. I think it will be warmer than that this weekend. So people looking to take the boat out, I think, you know, your kids will be able to jump in the water and stuff. So I don't think we're looking at a freezing weekend, but just not quite, you know, that really hot, humid stuff.
Have you made the annual trek to the fireworks shop yet to purchase a bomb or two?
I have, yeah. I held back a little bit this year. I'm sure I'll probably, usually I make a second run if there's multiple shows to kind of beef up the supply. But right now, yeah, I feel good where I'm at right now. Plus, as I get older, I'm getting a little bit more like responsible on where we're doing it. However, first off, let me just say, I'm not endorsing illegal fireworks.
Of course not.
No, but I will say that this year, given the amount of rain that we've already had and the rain that we're seeing today, we're faring better as far as our fire danger compared to the last 4th of July.
Great.
So I feel pretty good about the fireworks this year. Obviously, be safe. Obviously, don't do anything stupid, you know. Making sure you're taking all the precautions.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't get to go to the lakefront this year, the family and I. What time should we be at your house, Niz?
Well, I got one. Okay, so, like, you know, you got to get the big 500-gram cakes, which are these, like, big boxes of, like, you know, fireworks stuff. And one was, Eric was mentioning, Michelle, there was one that was called Fake News that I got last year. That was pretty cool. There's one that I got this year I'm pretty pumped about, because you know how when you buy it, you can scan the code and watch like what it does. This one I'm pumped about. It's called Light and Run. And okay. So I'm going to light it and I'm going to run for sure.
That's good advice.
Good advice.
Oh, fantastic.
So I also have a neighbor who I feel like really doesn't like it. And I suspect maybe called the cops on me at one point a while ago. They're gone. They're on vacation, so I don't have to worry about them.
Nice.
So, let's go.
And shoot it off of his driveway. It'll be fine.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Niz. Happy 4th of July.
See you guys.
The Brewers get walked off. We'll get the skipper's take at 7:45.
Do googly eyes make everything better?
Googly
Slap
eyes.
Slap on a pair of googly eyes and everything looks kind of silly and rosy, right?
Okay. So, I suppose.
So this was an idea started in Boston. A couple of just regular people decided that they wanted to improve the consumer experience of the train system there. And their idea was to stick googly eyes on some of the trains.
So on the front of the train, there's two eyes that kind of look funny?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're doing it. They marched, they protested and called for this change to the trains.
The idea being that this is going to make everyone smile when they have to head into work,
yes,
during rush hour.
They want to improve the lives of hundreds and thousands of Bostonians who ride the T every day. They want people to be able to look into the eyes of the train and really see themselves and their friends and their coworkers. They say that, you know, if the train is delayed, well, at least people can look into the eyes of a train and feel some love and understanding in their hearts.
By seeing the googly eyes.
The googly eyes. Now, they actually had googly eyes and they wanted them to glue it onto the train. Well, the train officials decided that wasn't necessarily safe, so they're using decals instead. The eyes don't move, and it's only on 5 trains, so they're kind of doing like a Where's Waldo type of thing, like as people are commuting and, you know, am I going to get the googly train?
Do you think they say that? Do you think all the people working now are so excited to get on the train just because it might be the googly one, huh?
Do you think it solves the issues? I mean, I think they're having a lot of problems with these trains, and this is one of the efforts to try to make things better.
So you could put them on the hop here in Milwaukee, or like back in the day when we had the whale wall, you could have put them on the whales maybe?
Okay.
Googly eyes. That way heading down into the Marquette, you could have just seen that. I'm trying to think of how that could have affected us here.
I would have smiled seeing whales with googly eyes.
You didn't think you were going to say that when you got up this morning.
I did not.
7:39. So the 4th of July is Thursday, and there are a lot of people traveling somewhere.
Nearly 30 million Americans are boarding planes this week. TSA spokesperson Lori Dankers is at Denver International.
Regardless of what day they're traveling or when they're traveling within the day, it's going to be extremely busy.
She says when it comes to security, travelers are their biggest partners.
We ask them to come to the airport early. We ask them to come prepared, to leave those prohibited items out of their carry-on luggage so they don't require a bag check.
Because every time that happens,
it slows you down and everybody behind you.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
Of course, there are also the, 70 million that are going to take to the roads or whatever as well. There's always that 50 miles or more for the holiday. I noticed, I was surprised. I was in Minocqua and I was in Lake Geneva, different aspects of the last few days. And Minocqua did not seem as busy as I thought it would be, nor did Lake Geneva. But it might be just the calm before the holiday storm, if you will.
Yeah, unless you're taking the whole week to celebrate the holiday, then maybe it's yet to come.
You got to imagine, Tuesday into Wednesday, like tomorrow, you'd think it's going to get a little busy, wouldn't it? Like people are going to take the half days on Wednesday and then have the long weekend.
Well, I think the third kind of is getting meshed in with the fourth. Like that's basically the holiday too. Yeah.
744 Brewers 360 is next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
The Brewers fall to the Rockies at Coors Field 8-7 in extra innings. Same two teams at it again tonight, right here on WTMJ. Brewers 360 sponsored by Holiday Automotive. It's Tuesday. That means it's Brewers manager Patrick Murphy joining us on Brewers 360. Skip, I know you had to watch part of the game underground there in the clubhouse. Any more movement on what that was? We had a bunt. We had Joey Ortiz try to avoid the tag. They called him running out of the baseline, even though it looked like he was still in the baseline. Do you guys put a call into the league and ask about that, or where does that go from here?
Yeah, I mean, there's not much you can do. You do put a call in, and you let them know, and they come back. They're pretty good about coming back to you and letting you know, well, he might have made a mistake, he might not have. But bottom line is, it's over with, and you have to move on. This is part of the game. It's the human element. I think that's a good part of the game, even though it went against us and it hurts. But that's on a bigger picture, it's part of what we do.
So when you're down below, what do? Are you eating food? Are you pacing? Are you reading a book? What do you do?
I'm staying involved as much as I can. You know what I mean? It's not a great feeling. I promise you.
It's lonely down there.
It kind of is. It's not as good as being in the dugout, I promise you. I'm not exactly lonely, but I'm wishing I was out there.
So we were joking about how the Brewers started their 97th pitcher last night in the season so far. Another starter, although just for an inning. So is this another one of those just doing the strategy thing where you have the out-getters start the game?
Yeah, that's it. You know, we're a little thin. It's pretty obvious we're a little thin on the mound, but we've been making it work. So we're going to continue to make it work somehow, some way. And proud of our guys. Every game we're in it, and it's just rare in baseball right now. And I just couldn't be more proud of the way they go out and compete every night.
It was exciting to see Garrett Mitchell come back up. He had been hurt all to start the year, and here's a kid who just looks like he's got the panache, you know, to be a great ball player. It's good to see him back in there.
Great word, panache. Love it. It is great to have him back. He's been through some adversity, and God knows he's worked very, very hard to get himself back here where he's at, and we were excited to get him back.
So July 4th, this is one of those holidays that always is kind of like the baseball holiday, right? You think about that with some of these ones. Memorial Day is another one where oftentimes you wear the special hats or you do different things. Through all your years, has there been any, like, I don't know, where the minor league team has done something special, or at Notre Dame they did something special when it came to the 4th of July in a baseball game?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I don't have, for me, it's all I know. I don't remember not being involved in a game at that point. And I think sometimes we don't appreciate it as much as we would. It's just part of our deal. You know, we keep going. This is the times we play. And specifically, I can't really think of something. You did catch me at 6 o'clock in the morning here. but I really can't give you a good story. I wish you would give me a heads up. I could have
fair enough.
Some time thinking.
How many hot dogs do you think you could eat in a hot dog eating contest?
I don't want to think about it.
I was just trying to think of something else that you wouldn't be expecting at 6 in the morning. That's the best I could go with. You know, that Joey Jaws Chestnut is no longer with us, at least not competing anyway. So, see, we have that to look forward to on Thursday. So, all right, Murph, well, go get back at him tonight. I really do appreciate your candor and the idea of moving on in the next day every time. Keep doing it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Be well. 7:49. Tausch is next.
Idea Man.
You've said that you're not a double glove guy, and you know there's been some discrepancy whether or not that's the case.
Innovator.
Good friend and teammate Greg Magic sends me a picture of you double gloving playing pickleball.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
So you're telling me you did not play one point of pickleball double gloving?
I did not. Not two gloves, not
all
one.
All right. Well, that helps me restore my faith in the pickleball community a little bit, because I was convinced, you know, that you're out there rocking because your hands are so delicate that you needed to glove up playing pickleball.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
7:53. All right, Tausch. Age-old debate now. It happens every year. And there's a lot of frustrations, and I can understand it to some degree. Where do you come down on the fireworks situation when it's the neighbors or someone in the neighborhood who's firing off on July 3rd or maybe July 4th or maybe the weekend after or maybe next week? How much fireworks can you take?
So, interesting question. I literally had no clue where you were going as you were building that crescendo up. I didn't have a clue if you were going. I just heard you with Murph talking about hot dogs and everything else. So, no clue where you were going. So, here's, I think, the deal. I think because we had some going off, I think, on Saturday night last weekend. I'm all right with that. I'm okay with that. Okay. It's the weekend. It's kind of a goofy year because the 4th lands on a Thursday, and some people are going to be going out of town, and they want to get their fireworks lit off. But I do believe, is Saturday the 7th or the 6th?
6th.
That's it. Okay, that's it. So if you want, you can go this whole week. I don't love it tonight because people are still working, but 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, I will be okay. Don't do it at 3 in the morning, but if you're doing it at 9, 10, or 11, I'm all right. And the other thing, and I've seen these videos, I'm sure you guys have too, where things like spin off and, you know, end up starting fires in the yards and everything else, that's where, obviously, don't be a complete moron about it, but from a timing standpoint, if you're looking at it from Wednesday night of this week, Saturday night is the cutoff, we're done. That's how I would rank it.
1 week grace period for the 4th of July.
Okay. 1 week. So that goes into next week then for you.
Well, no. What Tausch is saying is Saturday to Saturday is okay.
All right.
I agree with that.
So Michelle, if they go Thursday, if nobody in your neighborhood starts until Thursday, do they get the following Thursday or is it Sunday is it? Because a week can be a different week for everybody.
No,
it's got to
like
be like, all right, here it is. Should there be an ordinance? Because, you know, everybody says don't light off fireworks in your neighborhood. Nobody listens. I don't know, you know, homeowners associations, if you're in a, I don't know. It feels like nobody ever pays attention to that. So let's just all come to terms and say, all right, we get this day is it. Because when it gets to be like July 30th and people are doing it, I'm kind of like, what are we doing? You know?
Right. And I got to wake up in the morning. Hey, well, so the one question I would have, so my neighbor used to fire off some just amazing stuff. And he would text me. He'd be like, hey, you and the family up? And it'd be late. It'd be like 10 o'clock or something. He'd be like, hey, you and the family up? I'm going to fire off a couple. And I always thought that was pretty cool. He's giving me a warning, not only because they were doing it, but also because we could go out and see it. Do you tell the neighbor that you're firing off some, or do you just let it go and see what they say if they react?
So the question then is, what if that person says that to you and you're like, no, I'd rather you not? What happens then? I have a garage full of fireworks. I'm lighting them off. So I think I do appreciate if the neighbor comes and says, hey, come on out. We got a great fireworks setup. We're doing it. I don't think I never have seen anyone ask for permission, because once you go to the stand or you wherever you pick your fireworks up at, they're not going to sit around. They're getting lit. And so to ask anyone, oh, should we do this? I think anytime you can get the neighbors to come on board and kind of celebrate and enjoy it with you, you're probably going to have a lot happier neighborhood doing it that way.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. You can fire off the rainmaker at the scheduled time.
Now, are you someone that lights off fireworks? Are you lighting wicks? Are you doing anything, or is that you're steering clear?
I am the guy who likes to sit down on a chair and watch other people celebrate the day, and I just enjoy the moment. That's me. So I watch.
You know who enjoys the 4th of July from a business standpoint more than anybody? Hand surgeons. Hand surgeons eat up the 4th of July. I don't know if there's a more profitable time of the year for hand surgeons than this week that we're talking about now.
Oh, fantastic. I think you're right on the money. We'll have to investigate that one, Tosh. Hey, we got Summerfest trivia tomorrow.
Love it.